How public, how transparent should the process of our government be? That's the question behind the growing awareness of the use of unofficial committees created in Lansing to help design and craft policy. They're called work groups or task forces. And following the revelation of the so-called Skunk Works Education Work Group that was made public a couple of weeks ago by the Detroit News, we wanted to look at just how these work groups operate in Lansing, whether the use of these work groups has increased under Governor Snyder, and figure out if there's the possible impact on our democratic system of government. Joining us for this conversation is Detroit News reporter Chad Livengood. Welcome back, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
And Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry joins us. Hello, Jack.
Good to be here.
Good to have you both. Chad, I want to start with you because your recent piece in the Detroit News posed that question. Are these behind-closed-doors work groups the new normal in governing Michigan? Are they?
Well, the work groups have been around in Lansing for a long time, and as someone said after I wrote about the Skunk Works group, you know, there's a dozen Skunk Works projects in Lansing, but no one ever calls it that. That term, some people may not be familiar, actually comes from Lockheed Martin's secret development of warplanes during World War II, but that was actually what was being called in documents that I obtained from a source. Before we lifted the curtain on this operation, and since then this group has now been changed. It's been put into the realm of the Department of Education, because previously there was just one appointee from the Department of Education, but the Superintendent of Public Instruction wasn't even aware really what the group's ultimate goal was, which was to develop a new type of a charter school that they call a value school that could operate at $5,000 a kid, using more technology and fewer teachers, and something that resembles a voucher-like funding system with a sort of a debit card to pay for your education.
So, Jack, when we talk about work groups and task forces in governing, because they're nothing new, are they? I mean, can I just toss this out? Might we not say that Committee of Five that hammered out the Declaration of Independence back in 1776 was a version of a work group?
Well, I'm not sure it's a version of this kind of work group, and they knew they could lose their lives for it. I think several things are going on here. One is that if these were elected bodies or publicly appointed bodies, meeting in secret would be illegal. You have to meet and sort of and take votes in an open process. I suspect if this secret working group had been a group to reorganize the state library, say, nobody would care very much, but when you have education and the concept of vouchers or voucher-like implements, it's certainly a hot-button issue. And I think there's probably some level of discomfort with it. On the other hand, it is a perennial problem. It's a problem we see in university searches where, on the one hand, you want to have a public openness. On the other hand, say, obviously, the University of Michigan is going to be going through a search since the president is retiring.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't apply if they have to publicly be identified from the get-go, because if they don't get the job, it would hurt them, or they would perceive it would hurt them at their host institution. So it's a very thorny question. I don't know that these things are necessarily illegal, but some of these might have a problem with the smell test. But I'd defer to Chad. He's now sort of the ranking expert on how this works in Lansing.
Well, and in Lansing, it's pretty common to have more and more recently, especially in this era of term limits, where there aren't as many experts anymore within the legislature, in some cases even the executive branch on a certain issue. So they'll convene a work group to kind of drill down into a subject before they bring it to a committee. Last year, there was a big work group of two lawmakers, Representative Phil Kavanaugh from Redford Township, a Democrat, and former Representative Ken Horn, a Republican from Frankenmuth. They went around the state studying the medical marijuana law in Michigan to try to figure out kind of what was wrong with it, how it needed to be improved, get input from law enforcement, from marijuana advocates, from physicians, and then try to craft some bills out of that. They had eight bills that were introduced, and they whittled it down to four or five. that then they took it to the committee, held lengthy public hearings. I mean, some people think that this is kind of more of a model of a better way of a work group than what we've kind of discovered here with this group that was formerly called the Education Reform Advisory Team that was sort of deliberately using private email addresses for public employees that were involved in it. And that's you know, pretty well-known technique by government employees to try to dodge the or skirt the Freedom of Information Act so that their emails can't be obtained by, you know, pesky reporters.
So it sounds like there's work groups and then there are work groups, because it certainly it does make sense that it takes some work to help craft policy or bills before presenting it to the world. And even as you pointed out, Jack, with university searches, I mean, there are times when you do need to have some privacy, yes?
There's that, and what you said at first is even truer, I think, here, in that nobody in the legislature has very much experience. Nobody's been there longer than 4 years. So it's a good idea not to have people introducing bills all the time to invent the wheel. So you need some kind of level of sort of doing research, but there are, I believe, outfits that do legislative research. Chad, aren't there bureaus in both the House and the Senate that will help legislators draft bills?
Yeah, sure, and that's what they're there for. And then there's also just the old-fashioned system of let's hold public hearings,
right,
maybe for weeks on end, and let's generate input from people. That's obviously still being done, but sometimes in some of these big topic issues, some of the details are worked out beforehand, and it's not uncommon. And sort of the biggest open secret around here is that, you know, lobbyists write bills and laws around here.
I'm shocked.
Well, they outnumber the legislatures by about 10-1. So that brings up what are the motivations of the people who are on the work group? There's another work group going on right now in town that was actually formerly created as kind of a special committee on public safety reforms that was formed by the governor. But they're a bunch of prosecutors and police chiefs that meet in secret. And if you try to ask what's going on, they won't say. But something that kind of came out in MERS, the publication up here, was that they were tossing around a plan to consolidate 911 centers.
Hmm.
Well, it kind of interestingly enough, there's nobody from the 911 dispatch community represented on this panel of 15 officials from both the Snyder administration and from law enforcement and prosecutor ranks. So then you kind of have to question, well, wait a minute,
That's not a partisan response. It's just to have a major subject, we don't have anybody who's an expert in the subject, doesn't seem very well advised to me.
Well, then that was what was going on here with Skunk Works, was they had a teacher on there and from Oakland County, and once he figured out that they were really talking about creating a parallel school system, he quit. And then they also had an accountant from Plant Moran, which works for a lot of school districts, and she quit once she figured out that that was going to be a pretty big conflict. So then they had a group that didn't really have anybody from the education community, and they specifically said we don't want anybody from the education community because we don't want them to have the opportunity to kind of muddy up this process.
You mean
that we won't
to challenge what's being talked about?
Exactly, and so then, but yes, this thing hasn't gone very far. But there's just sort of this question of sometimes around here in legislation, especially with a full Republican majority in both chambers, and then this has been done in the past as well. And on the other side, things can, when they want to move something, a bill up here, they move it, and things can go from work groups to laws pretty quickly around here.
Well, there's a couple other things going on I think we should mention. Number one is that the level of trust is lower than it's been in quite some time, partly because, if we remember last December, Governor Snyder, having said that he was right to work was not on his agenda, in his famous phrase, all of a sudden it was on his agenda, and the right to work bills are rammed through both houses in the space of a single day without any committee hearings, without anything. So there's a level of distrust, certainly among the Democrats. And second, next year is an election year, which means they're starting already to position themselves for that, and that always affects things.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, speaking with Detroit News reporter Chad Livengood and Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry, looking at the increasing use of work groups and task forces, unofficial committees being created in Lansing to help design and craft policy. So I guess I'd like to get the thoughts from both of you. When we talk about these work groups and these task forces, what do the presence and the use of these work groups, where there really isn't any way for the public to know who or what is influencing them, what do you think that means to our system of governing?
Well, I think we need to keep an eye on it. And I think what the big worry is that a group like this one will come out with a value school plan to launch all sorts of schools online or otherwise for only $5,000 a student, present this as a fait accompli, and then have it rammed through the legislature without proper hearings, much as Right to Work was done. And I think if that becomes a practice, it's going to raise some real questions about democracy.
And Chad?
It is about the process. So how do things become law? What is the motivation? And if you don't have time or the ability for the public to really sort of scrutinize, you know, what's going on here, and just ask basic who, what, where, and why questions, that does, you know, really raise some red flags.
You know, we forget sometimes that democracy is supposed to be messy. Dictatorships are very efficient. Everything runs on time. But the whole idea of a deliberative body like a legislature is somebody introduces a bill or an idea and you have hearings and somebody else says, well, the trouble with that is we tried that in Saugatuck and everything fell apart for this reason. And so you've got some time to deliberate. And if you've, if it's all done behind closed doors, people are shut out of the process.
That summed it up, I think, pretty perfectly. I guess what I wonder is, for people listening to this who are bothered, alarmed by that, what's the takeaway? What do we do? What do we demand of our lawmakers, Jack?
Well, if I think of people, and people from both parties convey to the legislators that they don't like this, and compared to the governors, the executive office, they don't like this sort of thing, they may back off. They were certainly embarrassed. The governor's office, whether they admit it or not, was embarrassed over the revelation of the Skunk Works idea, partly because of the name, but also because of the topic. And, again, they do respond to public opinion. The trouble is it's hard to keep public opinion focused.
Chad?
Yeah, and there's actually a recent example where I think the public outrage on something actually got the legislature's attention. In this new technique of referendum proofing bills by attaching an appropriation to the bill. This was done to the Right to Work bill. It was done to the new emergency manager law after the voters repealed the last emergency manager law. They even put an appropriation on the legislative redistricting to keep that from ending up on the ballot. And recently there was this bill that would help create another mechanism for hunting gray wolves in the Upper Peninsula, and the senator put a $1 million appropriation on there, couldn't hardly really explain what it was for, and got a lot of backlash for that, and ended up stripping it off himself on the Senate floor, acknowledging the backlash he got from people on this. So, you know, these guys, they do listen, especially when the phone's ringing, and they sort of see the tea leaves.
Well, speaking out and being aware, it all comes down to that. We've been speaking with Detroit News reporter Chad Livengood and Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry. Always good to talk with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thanks for having me.